I'd like to start this evening by reading to you a page from Swami Kriyananda's preface to his book, Paramahansa Yogananda, a biography. Over the years, I've found that whenever I have just a moment, but I need to dive deep in inspiration, reading any one of the prefaces that Swamiji's written to his book is a really fast way to get there. So I'm going to read this page to you. Yogananda was a towering giant among saints, one of those few who come from age to age, having been sent by God with the divine mission of guiding mankind out of the fogs of delusion into the clear light of divine understanding. In the best known Indian scripture, the Bhagavad Gita, the statement appears, "O Arjuna, whenever virtue declines and vice is in the ascendant, I, the Supreme Lord, incarnate myself on earth as an avatar or divine incarnation. Appearing from age to age in visible form, I come to destroy evil and to re-establish virtue." I might add, Swamiji says, that this is not the first time that this great soul, whom we know as Paramahansa Yogananda, appeared on earth. Often and often, he told us, "I killed Yogananda many lifetimes ago. No one dwells in this temple now but God." And the incredible depth of his compassion for suffering mankind is evident in these lines from a poem he wrote named God's Boatman. "Oh, I will come again and again, crossing a million crags of suffering. With bleeding feet, I will come, if need be a trillion times, as long as I know that one stray brother is left behind. That compassion is what I saw in his eyes every time I gazed into them deeply. It was no mere sentiment. It was the expression of his soul as he reached out with yearning to help everyone, everyone who came to him with a desire to be lifted toward final liberation in God. Nobody could ever speak about Master any more beautifully than Swamiji does. There's so much love there. I mean, as Swamiji was expressing, just such extraordinary love of this Master for every one of us. You know, we've all heard so many stories over the years of how people came onto this path. And some of them are simple stories, some of them are very dramatic. But recently I've heard a couple of, well, cute and profound ones that I'd like to share with you. The first is a very short story. I was trying to remember who told me this. I believe it's a man who is now taking our Raja Yoga class. I said to him, how did you discover this whole path? He said, well, I was looking. He said, and one day I was playing the game Jeopardy with some friends. And he said, the answer to one of the questions was Paramahansa Yogananda. And he said, as soon as I saw those two words, something happened in me and I was drawn. And then there's another man who we've met recently who told me that one of the people that he works with gave him the book Autobiography of a Yogi. He said, I wasn't really interested, but he said, I felt, and he said this very sweetly, this is a man who I haven't known long, I should say a soul who I haven't known long, but such sweetness and such depth I just felt from him right away. And he said, so I read the book. He said, I didn't much like it, and I didn't understand any of it. He said, but then it came to me that I should read it again. He said, I don't know where this thought came from, but that I should take it seriously, that I would look up every word I didn't understand. And he did that. And then he looked up every word, and he said, and I loved that book. He said, but when I was reading the preface by Swami Kriyananda, I said to myself, now this is a man I have to get to know. And he searched, and he found us. And one last story that I heard, this person I don't know, but there was a man who was, he picked up, this is how it was. He saw Autobiography of a Yogi somewhere, the book, and he was completely put off by the picture on the cover, so he just let it go. And about a year later, he was helping a friend move. And after they got everything loaded, there was one book left on the floor, and it didn't have a cover on it. And he said, so I just started reading it. He said, I was immediately taken by this book. He said, I couldn't put it down. And then he came to the place in the book where there are all the pictures, and he said, I just burst out laughing. You know, because Yogananda's picture, of course, is right in this book, and he realized this was the book that he had had to walk away from. When you really let these stories sink in, every one of them, there's as many stories as there are disciples all over this world and any other world, you realize the extraordinary love it takes for Master to be reaching out one by one by one in just the perfect way, at the perfect time. You're ready, you're ready. I was running down a beach in Encinitas. I had no idea what was going on. That man just walked into my life. Go to medical, he told me, do this, do that. Okay. And not only my life, my husband's life. Honey, guess what? I'm supposed to go to medical school. and it's got to be an Ivy League school. Without a beat's pause, he says to me, okay, what do we do next? Just like that. That's the power of this love of the masters. It's so extraordinary. You know, we have our purification ceremony every Sunday that most of you know, and there's that amazing line that is repeated over and over and over in talks, because it's so deeply touching when someone comes up in front of a light bearer and they say the words, I seek purification by the grace of God. And then the light bearer answers, the master says, open your heart to me and I will enter and take charge of your life. There's no hint in there that he's going to take a little charge sometime under certain circumstances. What's in that sentence is, you open your heart and I will enter and take charge of your life. Well, if we're seeking that, we have to know that the master means that all the time. No matter what is happening in our life, he has taken charge of it. We call that grace. You know, there's that extraordinary story in Swami's life where he's been asked to leave SRF, which was such an excruciatingly painful time for him, just where he thought he would be spending the rest of his life serving his guru. He just couldn't imagine what his life would be without it. And the powers that be at SRF were saying, we're gonna act like we've never known you. And when he was with Ananda Moy Ma, he said to her, Ma, how can I understand this? How could this be? How could this happen? And what am I to do with it? And she, I don't want to say thought for a moment, but she stopped for a moment and she said to him, try and see this as your guru's grace. And he said, guru's grace? I mean, it just made no sense to him. But it was, of course, ultimately, very quickly, what he came to see. This is what happened. The master's here. This is guru's grace. There's a wonderful but difficult story in Sister Gyana Mata's book. In our book study last night, somebody brought it up, so we all had an opportunity to read it again. But Sister Gyana Mata, who Yogananda called his foremost, meaning most highly evolved female disciple, she lived all of the years that she lived with him in the ashram. I believe it was the last 20 years of her life, in severe pain with a chronic systemic disease, really severe pain. Three times, Master said, she was supposed to die, but he pleaded with God to keep her in her body. Now, why would he do that? He didn't just want her to suffer, but he did. He wanted her to go through whatever it was that she needed to go through to be free at the end of this life. So here was this great soul in excruciating pain, at one point thinking that she wanted to die. And Master writes her a letter and says to her, don't tie my hands with your thoughts. Guru's grace. He knew what she needed, and she knew. She knew to receive that as Guru's grace. Open your heart to me, and I will enter and take charge of your life. And we have to remember, the Guru is in charge. Master, with all that love, he came and he got each one of us. And he brought us here. Would he desert us? Would he treat us in any way other than exactly what we need to find freedom as he's found freedom? You know, Dave Arshi and Maria Warner, he often told us that they had, Dave Arshi and Maria Warner were two disciples who lived at Ananda Village for many years. She's now left her body. He's now living in India. But he said, we had two mantras in our house. He said, and we didn't necessarily speak a lot of words around them. Knowing these two as I did, they probably used very little words, very few words, which is why they had these mantras. And he said the first one was Guru's grace. And he said, whenever anything happened, it could be the most wonderful thing in the world or the most challenging thing in the world, we would walk into our home and we would look at each other and we would say, Guru's grace. That's all we had to say. It was this constant reminder. We are loved by this master. And whatever comes into our life, Guru's grace. We have that wonderful affirmation from Swamiji. I go forth in perfect faith in the power of the omnipresent good to bring me what I need when I need it. What I need when I need it. Omnipresent good. Guru's grace. And then we have this line of masters, this beautiful line of masters, who from the minute Lahiri looked at Babaji and said to him, please let me stay with you. And Babaji said, no, you have to go back. You have to live your life so that all of those who will come onto this path can see you living and see what they need to do. So Lahiri Mahashaya leaves the Golden Palace, down out of the mountains, goes back to being an accountant, going to work every day, everything we can relate to, raising a family. Now, he did meditate all night. Maybe we can't exactly relate to that yet, but we can hold it as an affirmation. Sri Yukteswar, really, family man, master who came here, who went through everything he went through, lawsuits, financial issues, on and on, so that we could see and get what we needed to get to know how to live our life to attain that perfect freedom, that state of super consciousness, of true realization of the divine, of who we really are. And then we have this blessing. Look at these simple techniques they gave us. These extraordinarily simple techniques, energization exercises, Hung Sa, the Om technique, Kriya. They didn't say to us, you have to get to the point where you can live on prana alone. You have to be able to put yourself in a cave all winter in the Himalayas and then walk out in spring like nothing happened. No. They said, just do these simple practices. They're simple. If you really want to attain this freedom, here, we're going to teach you, we're going to show you. They bring us onto the path from wherever we are, wandering around, out in some state of delusion. They hand us these simple practices. Master added in the energization. What extraordinary love that is. What amazing love and grace. There's one more story that I want to share with you. There was a group of people cooking at the meditation retreat up in Ananda Village, and a woman walked in, a woman that nobody knew. And she just walked into the kitchen and she said, introduced herself, and she said, I need to tell you this story. She said, some years ago, she lived near the meditation retreat in that area. She said, I stopped in just to see what was going on here. And she said, I was very drawn to this picture. It was of Yogananda. She said, so I bought a little wallet size picture of him. And she said, I took it home and I put it on a ledge right near my front door. And she said, I've had a very hard life. She said, when I was young, I met who was truly the love of my life. And right before we were going to get married, he was diagnosed with some very rare cancer, and he died. And she said, I grieved for a very long time. She said, I lived my life. Ultimately, I fell in love with another man. And she said, right before we were going to get married, he was in this freak car accident, and he was killed. And she said, I was profoundly depressed, profoundly. She said, and I just decided I was going to kill myself. And she said, I knew I was going to get the keys to my car and drive off one of the bridges right there that many of us know on Route 49 into this ravine. And she said, I walked up to my front door to get the keys to my car. And she said, that picture caught my eye. And she said, I couldn't look away. And the picture just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then he just shook his head no. And she said, I fell to the ground sobbing. And she just looked at these people in the kitchen. And she said, I just had to share that story with you. And she left. That a beautiful story. We have no ability to conceive of the love of our gurus. But what we do know is that once we experience that divine love, which that woman experienced, heart to heart, pure divine love, everything in our life changes. Once we've sat without any, I can't think of the words that Sri Yukteswari used. I'm sorry, I'm losing the words, but basically any conflicting emotions, there's a much better word for that, but thwarting, any thwarting emotions. No, he said to Master, when Master came back from the Himalaya and said, gee, I expected you to be angry with me. And he looked at him, he said, anger only comes when there's thwarting emotions. I never had any expectations of you. I'm here for your good, he said. After Master had left him to go and try and find God, he left his guru to find God. The guru never, here, come on, let's just sit down and have a meal, he said. No, because they are there for us. Once we feel that pure love beyond mind, beyond duality, everything changes, everything. All we need to do is want that. All we need to do is say, yes, I seek purification by the grace of God. And the masters will come. You know, Yogananda used to start all of his talks. We know this. He would come out on the stage and he would say, how goes everyone? And everyone being conditioned, they would say, how feels everyone? And then he would say to them, perfect. Now I can talk to you because you are awake and ready. That's what we need to do. Really, a small price. They're not asking all that much of us. Get to be awake and ready. Raise your energy. And these great gurus, this great master of ours, this extraordinary incarnation of love, a Prem avatar, he's called, an avatar of love and joy and wisdom. And he's ours, and we're his, and he never forgot that. All we need to do, he said, one of the best mantras for you to be repeating is Om Guru, Om Guru, Om Guru, as much and as often as we can. That becomes the glasses, the frame through which we see everything, through that Om Guru, Guru's grace, Guru's love. Not much to ask when we get to reap these extraordinary rewards of knowing he's here, knowing he loves us, knowing he's never going to let us down. The instant we turn our attention to him, that is Guru's grace.
Reveal thyself, reveal thyself, reveal thyself, reveal thyself.